National Nurses Day. So we're devoting that REM song to all the nurses out there who toil on our behalf. Recognizing the birthday of the founder of modern nursing, Florence Nightingale. Go figure.
Didn't know that.
It's the date, nurses. Just
Florence
nurses.
Nightingale? Did you date her too?
I'm old, but I don't know. Good morning, New York. That's Noam Layden. I'm Geraldo. How you doing? It is 6, almost 7 minutes after the hour on the 6th day of May. I swear I saw Mayor Bloomberg jogging this morning on Madison Avenue, 90th Street.
Oh, yeah, well, that's his neighborhood.
Is it?
Yeah.
He couldn't have been jogging all by himself. But, I mean, maybe it was.
Yeah.
I got a million things I want to talk to you about, folks. But I want to start, without further ado, with this morning's main event, Congressman Michael Grimm, a man who has been pursued and persecuted by federal prosecutors in Brooklyn, Democrats, principally Todd Kominsky, revealed his own deeply held political motivations when, after failing to get an indictment of Congressman Grimm for election law violations, a 2-year investigation, Kominsky did manage to get the former FBI hero agent and former United States Marine indicted for paying illegal immigrants off the books, an alleged offense shared by thousands of other businesses in the metropolitan area, one that should have been resolved with the payment of a fine, maybe at worst a minor misdemeanor charge, at worst, not a 20-count indictment that seeks to destroy the man's political career and shift the political dynamic, eliminating the sole Republican in the New York City Congressional District, contingent, rather. And to add insult to injury, the prosecutor, Todd Kominsky, resigned his office shortly after the indictment. Now he's running as a Democrat for state assembly. Just simply outrageous. It is something that irks me beyond belief. Joining us right now, Congressman Michael Grimm. How you doing, Congressman? How you holding up?
Good morning, Geraldo. I'm holding up well. Obviously, you know, it's a horrific thing. I wouldn't wish it on my enemies, but I'm doing rather well. And, you know, one of the things that I try to do when I have a tough time with anything, whatever it may be, is just, you know, look at someone else's situation. And here in Staten Island, look, I have people that have children that haven't been back in their home for 18 months after Sandy. They lost every worldly possession. We have 23 people here on Staten Island that lost loved ones. You know, 23 people lost their lives. So you look at those families, will never be able to put their lives back together. You look at some, I have people coming to me every day, coming to my office with life-threatening diseases, and they were dropped from their health care because of the Affordable Care Act, and they're being denied coverage, and their medicine is $18,000 a shot, and they don't know what to do, and they're worried that if they don't get their medicine, they're not going to live. So, I mean, when you put it into perspective, I'm doing rather well. Obviously, it's unpleasant, but the big thing that I do is I just get right back to work, and I start helping my constituents, which is what I've done from day one, and that's what I focus on.
My guest, Congressman Michael Grimm of Staten Island. So how do people react to you, though? I mean, do they feel sorry for you now? Do they commiserate with you? Do they say, shame on you? Do they say, oh, the dreadful, Democrats who were, you know, masquerading as arbitrary, as impartial prosecutors? I mean, what do they say to you?
Well, I'll tell you, the support has been overwhelming. I mean, look, obviously, there have always been those that didn't like me from day one, and they're never going to say anything good. They never did. They never will. And that's fine. A lot of those are your very far left-leaning ideologues. So putting that aside, in all sincerity, I am one of the most strange, and it might sound bizarre, but I really am one of the luckiest members of Congress. And I say that because I have salt-of-the-earth people in my district. Staten Island and Southwest Brooklyn are just good-hearted, you know, hard-working, regular, everyday people. And I've had more of an outpour of Democrats coming to me and saying, you know, when all those allegations 2.5 years ago broke about, you know, all the campaign finance, we weren't sure, we didn't, you know, it sounded like it was really bad, but you were saying it was a witch hunt, and you know what? Now, Congressman, we know. There's no question anymore that it was a witch hunt from day one, and it's very simple. It was always politically motivated. This was always about silencing the one voice in opposition. And look, I'm not saying that Republicans always get it right, because they don't. You know, and I have stood against my party many times when they've been wrong. But you have to have some opposition. Right now in New York City, it is completely controlled by Democrats. And that's a dangerous thing, because that also leads to abuse of power. It leads to an overblown, overreaching government that can do anything they want to anything.
I absolutely agree with your analysis of that, Congressman, but I also know that, you know, having lived through it with some other people, principally Bernie Kerik, my friend, the former police commissioner, that once the Fed locks on you, you have this massive apparatus, you know, that is extremely, profoundly unsettling. I mean, they look at you. I mean, this chump change charge that you're facing, I know you don't want to talk about the case, and I won't go there with you, but the fact of the matter is you're up against this monolith. You know, I don't know what Eric Holder knows or if he's involved in this or if he's advising Loretta Lynn in Brooklyn or what's going on, but it just seems to me that, you know, you have to be, and I know you're a brave person. You're an FBI agent, United States Marine, you dig in, you're going to fight back, but it has to be scary.
Oh, there's no question. Listen, I think it's overwhelming for anyone. And again, that's what this is about. This is about an overreaching, very powerful government that has unlimited resources. Unlimited resources. But if I don't stand up and fight, how is the average constituent, the average bus driver, you know, the school teacher, the nurse, whatever you want to say, the average trade guy that's turning a wrench for a living, how would they ever deal with it? So, you know, I have to stand up and say, look, when it's wrong, it's wrong. And I've done that my whole life. Listen, I'm going to tell you, Geraldo, yes, of course it's scary to have the entire federal government against you. But I'll tell you what, I was only 20 years old when live rounds were coming down range in my direction. And you know, the natural instinct is to run away from the live fire, from bullets coming your way, from bombs, literally bombs going off that blew up my Humvee. That's the natural reaction. But, you know, you find something inside you, and you fight, and you go for it. And I ran towards the bullets. I ran towards the bombs. I knew what my job was as a United States Marine. You know, this is my 20th year of service. I think people forget that I've been serving this country 20 years, and I've always done so with honor and integrity, and I'm not about to stop now.
So what would, if there was a vote today, any polling, what would the people of Brooklyn, you know, Bay Ridge, what would they say, what would the people of Staten Island say if they were asked to vote right now? What are your internal polls showing?
I would win re-election, and that's why we're running. You know, listen, I'm going to fight these charges all the way, and I'm going to win my election. So I have, you know, a couple of things on my plate, but this is not the first time I've had a lot on my plate. I'm a multitasker, and I have a relentless work ethic, and I believe in the people that I serve. Look, at the end of the day, I really have grown to love my constituents, and they know that no matter what, I have their back, and I fight in a way for them that no one really ever has. I call it as I see it. I speak plainly, and, you know, I get the job done. I have delivered for them over and over again, and I think now they're realizing, wow, you know, we have a congressman that just fights relentlessly. He gets things done. He answers only to us. He takes on his own party when it's necessary. No wonder they want to get rid of this guy.
What was your reaction? Congressman Michael Grimm, the embattled congressman from Staten Island, the sole Republican in the New York City congressional contingent, is my exclusive guest. What was your reaction when you heard that the chief prosecutor against you, Todd Kominsky, resigned to run as a Democrat for state assembly? I mean, didn't that reveal to you, didn't you get a sickening feeling in your stomach that, you know, you saw what this is all about?
Well, I kind of knew. I mean, I knew from the beginning that, you know, 2.5 years ago, they embarked on a witch hunt and a persecution that was politically motivated. Look, this comes down to, right now, this is a completely selective prosecution that is politically motivated by, you know, an overzealous prosecutor that has his own political ambitions. That's it, period. It's not like there's something that's going to reveal itself now. It's become obvious, and everyone knows it. And that's why I think my support has been so strong, because it just smells. It smells all the way around, and this is not what the people expect our government to be doing.
I agree. I would agree. I got you back all the way on this. So let me ask you I got to shift topics here back to business.
Sure.
David Goodman in the New York Times had an excellent report on how, like in places like unlikely places like Ocean County, New Jersey, Staten Island now is being afflicted by a heroin epidemic, unlike anything seen since the bad old days that I covered in the 1970s. Yet 36 people dying in 2012, the highest number in at least a decade from heroin overdoses. I mean, what the hell's going on?
Well, I mean, this has unfortunately been one of my signature issues since my first day in Congress, because I've been monitoring this closely. Look, St- Staten Island does have it the worst, but it's starting with prescription pills. That's what's happening. Prescription drug abuse is leading to the heroin epidemic. And it's people saying, well, where's the nexus? Well, it's actually very simple. A lot of young adults, you know, teenagers, 19, 20, and so on, they have access here on Staten Island. It's the worst of the five boroughs, and they have access because people might have an OxyContin or a Vicodin. A parent might have it in the cabinet and not even realize it. And unfortunately, if you're approximately 160 pounds or less, it could be as little as four pills, three or four pills, and you're physically addicted. That's how dangerous these pills are. Then, once you're addicted, pills could be $15, $20, $25 on the street. And after a while, obviously, these are good kids, good families. You know they're not supposed to steal and so on. So they need to get this high once they're addicted, and they can't afford the pills. And heroin has dropped somewhere between $4 and $6 a bag. And once they're so addicted, they'll even go and take that next step to heroin. The problem is, unlike the 70s that you just mentioned, Geraldo, heroin today is more potent. It's a stronger, more concentrated heroin. And on top of that, they are cutting it. The drug dealers are cutting it to increase their profits with something called fentanyl. And fentanyl is a drug that anesthesiologists use to put you to sleep when you have an operation. So kids are going to bed, they're taking their heroin, and the fentanyl in the heroin is putting them to sleep, literally, and they stop breathing, and they die. So just to put it in perspective, I just want everyone needs to understand this. Every 5 days, a Staten Islander is dying from either a prescription drug overdose or a heroin overdose. It is an absolute epidemic, and parents have to stop saying, it would never be my child. That's the number one problem I have on Staten Island, is parents are in denial, and if you think it couldn't be your child, you could be dead wrong.
Congressman Michael Grimm, I got to let you go. I'm out of time, mate, but don't be a stranger. I got you back. This is horrifying what they are doing to you. Don't comment on what I'm about to say, but I urge the federal government right now. There is a negotiation that's possible. There is a way to resolve this. Everybody keeps their honor. You could still run. Let the people of Staten Island decide whether or not they want you. If I lived on Staten Island, I would vote for you. I stood shoulder to shoulder with you in 2012. I do still.
Thank you very much for the support, Rob. Appreciate
it. Okay, buddy. Thanks for coming on. Congressman Michael Grimm, it's 18, almost 19 minutes after 10 o'clock. I'll be right back with your calls, 866-Geraldo.
Just into the traffic center, big problems on the Van Wyck. There's a crash on the southbound lanes. This is Hillside Avenue. That's exit 6. Two lanes are blocked. Police directing you around the area. Better news to report on the Northern State Parkway eastbound. Two crashes have been cleared. One at Wantop Parkway, that's exit 33. And the other one was at Route 106. That's exit 35. Still some residual delays in both areas. Now, we're looking at a broken down car. It's attracting some attention on Sawmill River Parkway northbound. That's at McLean Avenue. Looks like the right lane is blocked. And residual delays continue on the Queensborough Bridge. This is Manhattan bound, the HOV lanes from the beginning of the bridge to 58th Street. Williamsburg.